Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, June 13th, the year 2002. In the Fireside Lounge this evening, our presenters are Gene Wallstrom and Marvin Cannonen. Today's session number is WAJ 2002-01, and it is titled Education of Maasai in Tanzania. Let's listen in.
Like most things in life, she won the debate, but I was right.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's really true.
May we begin?
Okay.
May I get out of the way?
Okay.
Introduce yourselves.
You bet. For those who are taping, we're going to go ahead and begin. My name is Gene Wallstrom.
And I'm Marvin Cannonen, and we're married.
And we also serve as ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Division for Global Education, or Division for Global Mission, missionaries in Monduli, Tanzania. We serve as Christian education developers. And in that context, we are part of the DGM's focus these last years and into the future now, especially in leadership development and working with women's work, and also with an expanding work in secondary education, because we're finding that in a lot of developing countries where the church has begun, it is that strata that if they can get people, and especially women, educated, it makes a significant difference in the future, and especially in terms of the economic development. If you've watched the United Nations figures lately, they have proven that if you educate women within a country, it raises the economics and reduces poverty significantly in any particular country. So we feel really privileged and blessed to be there on behalf of the Lutheran Church. If any of you are supporting missionaries at home or involved with a missionary sponsor covenant relationship, on their behalf, I thank you. It is your benevolence and your interest in global education, global mission, that continues to have people like us the opportunity to share in that place. Education in Tanzania. What I do there is I serve at a Maasai Girls Lutheran Secondary School as the chaplain. And this means I teach one of the subjects that is part of the Tanzanian curriculum, and that's called Bible knowledge. In Tanzania, they will either offer, by choice of the head of the school, either Islamic knowledge, Bible knowledge, or nothing if they don't have a teacher. But it is considered one of the legitimate subjects to offer at a secondary school in Tanzania. Mark, what do you do?
I teach English.
And?
Oh, the AA stuff?
Yeah.
You know,
you work?
Besides teaching, everybody has this other thing to do on the side. One, the other thing I do on the side is I help coordinate run an AA system in the northern part of the country. We've been there 6 months and we're the largest in the country. Now after 4 years, we're huge. And we meet so many times now that I've utterly lost track. And we don't keep track as we spread out to new towns. And as we bring hope to the girls, I bring hope and sobriety to a lot of people who need it.
The other thing that I do as chaplain is I arrange for morning worship, evening worship, and then Sunday worship. So I serve as the campus pastor, in essence, in this process. Some of you are aware of early mission days when they had church schools, and the Lutheran Church ran many, many schools throughout Tanzania. Lately, they've been trying to recapture some of that kind of essence by having a role like mine at this particular school. We are owned and operated by the Lutheran Church in Tanzania. We are partners together with the Arusha Diocese in Tanzania. But we work as a secondary school within the Tanzanian structure. It was new for me. I've been in education all my life, but it was a stretch for me to wrap my head around, first of all, the British school system, which Tanzania inherited and continues to use, and then also to figure out some of the different nuances as all part of that. Now, if you're an educator, you can kind of follow me through. I'm just going to give you a quick overview, because we're going to use terms as we show the slides that we want you to understand, and then later we'll have time for questions. Tanzanian education starts with primary or elementary, and they call them standards, and there are 7 standards. Our ages of our girls are 7 to 18 years of age at that level, because they may have started at different ages, and they also may have dropped out a year to work and do things, or if the parent couldn't afford to pay the fees, they would lose a year. So someplace in there is their primary education. At the end of this, they have national exams. At this time is when we invite the girls to come to Maasai Girls School.
And they are selected and they come for a program we call Preform 1. Pre because it's before they enter the secondary loop in their education. This operates October through January. We specialize in just four subjects then of English, math, Kiswahili, and geography. And then I do a lot with Bible and singing, getting them used to the worship life at Maasai Girls. Then at this time, if they are, they continue through and then they start secondary or called O-level or ordinary level. There are four forms in ordinary level, and this corresponds to grades 8, 9, 10, 11 in the States. All right. So you have forms 1 and 2. Then you have another set of the national exams, and we use them to decide whether a girl's going to go into the arts fields or into the science fields. So that just splits at that level, and from then on, if you're in science, you additionally will take physics and chemistry, plus either agriculture or nutrition, in addition to the basic 7 that every student in Tanzania takes. All right? National exams happen in November. Instead of sending them home in 3-4 months there, the girls would normally be either delivered in a tribal system and in a cultural system where there are arranged marriages, and this would have happened during their standards at some time or perhaps even earlier. So a lot of times their fathers or brothers or their family elders would have chosen to deliver them to be married. Once you're married, you cannot continue in the system. Usually that involves pregnancy as well, and so we try to make a safe place for our girls to wait until the exam results come. So from October to May, we have what's called a Preform 5 program. If the results come back and they pass, then they go on to high school or advanced level. That's forms 5 and 6, or corresponding to grades 12 and 13. If they have then waited to the end result, they would start in July, and they will finish then in a July through May sequence. That's why it takes not just 13 years, it may take 14, 15 years for somebody to complete the entire cycle. At the end of Form 6, which our first class just took now in May, is the national exams. And that will determine what happens after that. So our 16 girls that started, we started 43 girls in 1995. That was the beginning of the school. Of those 43, we had 16 get to this point. In 1995, the bishop said, of the girls, we think what will happen to them, because it's a speculation. We're just now going to find out, actually, in reality, what happens. One-third will go home. They will be delivered and arranged in the marriage with the cows and things being transitioned, and they will become a first, second, third wife of a Maasai man, begin to raise their children, and participate in village life. And they will contribute what they have learned in nutrition and agriculture. They will be able to teach their child Swahili and English. They will be able to teach them Bibles. We send Bibles home. One of the most significant things that Holden, in a part of our particular ministry, I was serving, I served 7 years in the Holden Village Board. In the middle of this is when God called us to leave Trinity Lutheran College in Issaquah and head to Tanzania. The summer of 1998, when Janet was here as one of the directors with Martin and Susan, they designated half of the summer offerings towards our beginning work in Maasai Girls Lutheran Secondary School. The $7,000 went to buy Bibles and textbooks for our school. So what you're going to see in the slides is going to be a direct result also because of these, because we're able to provide Bibles and we're able to buy books. A lot of the girls will go home and education will now start earlier. It will start younger. And they will bring all of this back to their village. One-third, they estimate, will get jobs and kind of integrate into society and be able to move into other places, will leave the village, will choose their own husbands and go on into other walks of life. About a third will go on to more education. And now we're waiting to see what happens to those 16. And now I think this time we'll show the slides, we'll show you the 16. Let me just quickly ask, are there any questions about this? Does that sort of make sense for you? Okay. Then let me go with the slides. Yeah. We need to pull the screen down.
I don't think the light switch do.
It's over there.
And hi, Barbara. By the way, she taught 27 years at Lutheran Bible Institute before she left. It's now at Trinity Lutheran College. How many here had a classroom gene? Watch it. Isn't that great? Yay! How many of the class are me?
One.
What the heck? And she left her academic dean. Hi, this is who we're looking for in Tanzania. The girl to qualify for our school must come through Standard 7, and they must have no other possibility for further education. Zero. When they have no hope, we look for them. This is where they come from. These are their homes. Mud and dung and stick houses with thatched roof. This is where the, keep admiring the background. This is like a, it's not a square house, it's like a loaf of bread, kind of rounded with a door on the side. And they're keeping something up there to dry from the goats. And this is the alternative. Come to the Maasai Girls School or be a mother. Now, the girls who don't get to go to school think this is the absolute goal in life. But those who can come to school find hope.
Or other options. It's not that we're against becoming a parent, but becoming a parent at age 13 as soon as puberty hits versus delaying it until their body and everything else is healthy to be able to parent a little bit better is the goal.
Did you take these slides?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Did they dress for the slide, or are they clean and...
Not at all.
We
just were out actually on a recruitment trip, Dale, and we drove into this one Boma that we know, and these are people, these are younger sisters of some of our students.
And she has beautiful clothes,
yeah.
And they're so clean and white.
It's remarkable. They walk out, and I mean, Martin and I have to work at getting clean. You know, they just walk out in there. That's really the way they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They all dress better than I do.
The only part that is probably consistently dirty is their feet because of walking amongst the cattle and, you know, but otherwise... That's the way they are.
Wow. So the ones that don't go to school are always with this neck piece?
Yeah, that's traditional wear. If you go out to a village, you will see the young in their beads. That's like getting dressed in the morning, putting on jewelry. Any kind of jewelry you put on, that's what they put on.
Because we kind of expect like a Norway or something to wear their dress in certain things.
Yeah, no.
This is their fancy dress for regular life.
Yeah, this is very common, very normal. You'll see them both at home, and you'll see them walking to church. This is a Christian family, and this is a young mother about age 14.
Now, the beads they wear are also their wealth, so if they ever have to run and flee, they can carry their wealth with them and sell it someplace else. That's a tradition. This is the Maasai Girls Lutheran Secondary School. We're built on an old coffee plantation, and we're on a hill, so it slopes. The buildings are not that crooked, and these are three of our dormitories. Shade trees. This is how construction is done. Notice the heavy equipment we have. He weighs about 120 pounds. He weighs about 110 pounds. They take the trees out, put the buildings in. These containers in the background. And this is how they build. They put the building down. They run the walls up with blocks. This is another dormitory. And these are the bathrooms on the end. Now, anytime through this, if you have questions, ask. This is our dining hall. This is how they constructed the roof and held it up. And then when they were done, they pulled the pipes out and nothing fell down. I was impressed. This is the outside of the picture you just saw, the dining hall. The white rocks are so the girls can see to walk at night, you know, because we have no streetlights at all. And this is them, typical dress in going to school, going to class in the evening.
I assume if they're raised with, obviously, no indoor plumbing, you have some lessons to teach when they first come about how to use these facilities.
Let's see.
Yeah, I'll answer that one. our matron is a marvelous lady who actually will go in the shower with them because they've never seen water out of a pipe. It would have come out of a bucket. So there are the basic things that happen in this Preform 1 program. We teach them how to wear underwear, how to wash themselves. We teach them about menses, for example, in terms of sanitary pads. I mean, everything from the very the basic kind of things we consider normal hygiene operations, how to make a bed, what to do with a sheet. I mean, all of that comes, and then how to wear their uniform, how to pin their skirt. I mean, everything is taught to them usually by the matron. That's part of her curriculum for this 4 months.
Yeah, turning the lights off, on turning the water off.
Yeah.
You know, why not just let it run? You know, you got to turn it off. For the last 2 years. This word drought is synonymous with Africa. We have not produced a coffee bean. This year we got rain at the right time, and we got coffee blossoms. And I cannot tell you how beautiful this picture is. And this is what it's supposed to look like then. We're supposed to get a red coffee beans. And that'll happen come October, November. When it's dry, it's dusty, flat. When it rains, everything grows. And here are the girls just cutting it past the one of the houses. This is where Gene works. This is the chapel. There's not a bit of glass in there, no electricity in it. This is shaped like a Maasai shield with a Maasai pattern on it. And right here, this pulsing up, that's a Maasai spear that goes up. And way up here, there's a cross. And that's the chapel. It'll seat 400. Here she is spending some time with the bishop and other dignitaries.
This is before the roof got finished, obviously. Yep.
And this is the view she gets from in front. And she says the music there is even better when you're sitting that close to them. And here they are, just being kids.
Meet Esther, Rebecca, and Elizabeth.
And here they are in a classroom with the desks we had made in the country. Later on, we got regular desks. But there they are studying hard, every one of them. They have a Bible out. That's nice. I love this picture. She's getting her first blanket in her life, her quilt. We got it from the Lutheran World Relief. What is that? First, but not, no longer. But now there's a church in Minnesota who insists on making them all. And she is so glad to hold this up. That's going to be her quilt. And here they are the same day getting their t-shirt or sweatshirts. Because they're always cold. They're cold in the sweatshirts in class, and I'm in front of them teaching, and just sweating. They're always cold. So, hey, what's this guy doing here? On September 2nd of this year, Matt and Amy got married. September 11th happened. On the 24th and 26th, they flew to Tanzania and spent 6 months with our students. Gene mentioned the preforms. This is what they look like when they come. And he is teaching English. He's an editor, and he's working on their English. And he's teaching basic words like prepositions, nouns, the difference between under and over. I think last year, I don't know this year, 7 of our students spoke no English or Swahili when they came. And this is his wife, Amy, teaching math. And that problem I would have gotten right myself.
One of the things in the preform program, why English and math become so important, is that in primary school, the language of instruction is Kiswahili, right? Their first language is Maasai, or Ma language. They have come out of the village with speaking Ma. So they've learned Kiswahili in primary. But in secondary education and all the way up, the language of instruction is English. So everything is done in English. So the better the language, the better the student will access any other subject, because it has to be done in English.
And again, everybody did everything. Please admire this. This is a stack of loose pages. The books there just fall apart. She is going through every book, finding where pages are missing, going through the stack of papers and putting it there. She came to her house about 10 in the morning, and she kind of stood up and stretched, and it was 5 in the evening. And she doesn't know where the day went. I wouldn't tell her. But there she is, utter patience. And when she was done, she gave them to the brute with the staple gun and the duct tape and the scotch tape and the library tape and the hammer and the scissors, and I put them back together for another year. I love this picture. This is a girl who has no confidence in the doctor. This is Dr. Mukundi, and she broke her arm because, you're going to love this, she didn't know how to go downstairs. She'd never seen stairs in her life. And so she just did it, and she fell and broke her arm. We have girls who come to our school and bang their heads into the window because they've never seen glass. We're talking about what we call bush kids. And that's Dr. Mukundi. He comes every Saturday to take care of our students. And as Gene mentions, the books that come, they all get their own Bible. These are kind of interesting because in the upper right-hand corner, there's a picture there of Manhattan. And these two tall buildings standing there. And the girls could see what the World Trade Center was. But there they are. And they get to keep these Bibles. They're the school books they return. The Bibles they get to keep.
And we give them English because the test, everything is an English Bible. So they get their Kiswahili Bible when they first come. And then this is Form 2 when they start their English Bible. And so they get their English Bible then to be able to compare it with the Kiswahili.
And here is one of our Form 6 students writing her sponsor, because all of our students are sponsored. If they can't afford to go to school, how can they pay the way? Your sponsor's in USA and America. And she's writing a letter, and she's using her Bible to get the quote right.
USA and Europe.
And Europe. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is our library. We got probably the nicest library there, because it's just so clean. This is a librarian. She has had no librarian experience, but we couldn't find anybody with librarian experience. So we hired her. She's doing the best she can. This is our version of a card catalog, a slip of paper. And we got, if anybody knows computers, will look at these computers and think, hey, It's a museum. No, they're what we're using now. But we have more coming this summer that are way up to date. This is Winnie, and she knows she's, her picture's being taken, and she doesn't like it. Otherwise, her fingers would be in the right place at least.
These are the three computers that we've had accessible for students in the Pre-Form 5 program. Remember the Pre-5? So these girls that were waiting for their test results to see if they could go into high school, and we taught them some keyboard skills, typing skills.
And here they are in science lab. We've got to have two laboratories, one for chemistry, one for physics. We have them now. This is the teacher, and this is the student. And some of our girls, when they take the Form 2 exam and things, you know, when you don't pass anything, what do? You send them home. Well, if we were cold-hearted, we would. But we will make sure all our girls have a trade. This one is learning sewing. This is a sewing instructor, somebody who knows how to sew. And that's a manual machine cut on the bottom. Question, how many of my side girls does it take to put a piece of paper in a typewriter? Here they are. Because they learn the typewriter before they learn the computer. Because if you can't type, the computer's not fairly inaccessible.
And these were taken this January and February. This class now will become part of our new at high school, or our Form 5 program. And out of this last fall's class of 47, we will now have 24 going on to Form 5 that qualified. We were very pleased with the test results this year.
And beyond of the 47, 20 more are going to go on to a teacher's training school. So of the 47, 44 of them are going to go on. And that's not bad in a country where the national average from starting Form 1 to Form 6 is 3%. And it's a miracle. They also, you heard about nutrition. Here they are in a nutrition class. This is a great one. They're feeding everybody who came by. They learned how to make Coke bottles decorative. And this is the food. And it's fun to go with that class. Here's how they cooked all the stuff on charcoal in the floor of the classroom. This is a special class we made for them. That's why it was so dark and dismal and smoke-covered. And we live in a monsoon weather pattern. We're 3 degrees south of the equator in the Indian Ocean. When the rains come, it's not a Seattle rain. And so this is the chapel. Here they're trying to get some of the mud out of the way because the water just rushes in. And if you can see, they're all wearing rubber boots, which one of the churches, our home church bought them rubber boots. So they would all have rubber boots in the muddy weather. And here they are cleaning up inside the chapel where the mud and dirt got as deep as the sill on the bottom before the water ran out.
Shades of hole at a time.
And we sell Tupperware. And, you know, we have running water sometimes. And when it doesn't run, you leave your water by the water faucet, and the water faucet's left on. And when you hear the water running, there's designated girls who race out and start to fill every bucket until the water stops again. And that's what they're doing. When there's no water, we have indoor plumbing. It works well with water, not so well without. So without water, we have round houses. The classrooms, the dormitories, and even our outhouses are no square corners. In Maasai tradition, evil spirits lurk in square corners. And so we avoid square corners there.
And you can also see how dry it is when it's dry. We don't have summer, winter, you know, the four seasons. We have dry and wet season. And so you can see it when it's dry, it's just dirt dry.
What will it look like in July?
In July, you will probably have more brown than green. Although we just had a couple emails and they passed good rain, and it may still be a little green. But it should be turning brown by then.
Yeah, and we're up on a mountainside, so we get more rain than they get down below. And here the girls helping prepare meal. They're cutting onions.
Every girl works on a work crew, and they are responsible for both cleaning their dormitory, cooking, cleaning up, serving, etc.
Do you guys understand work crews?
They really believe in it there.
So what do you want for Christmas? How about a leg of a cake buffalo? We have a local safari company area where they had a hunter out. Somebody got a cape buffalo, and they gave us the front leg. Weighed 70 pounds. Oh. And boy, the girls are so willing to help cut this one up for real meat. And these are our cooks. Don't you love the way they cook? Do you like our kitchen? High ceiling, great walls. We have a kitchen built, and we're going to get the kitchen equipment in here this year, we hope. And then we have to teach these women how to cook indoors. Something that will be utterly new to them, totally foreign. But they are such happy people.
the girls appear to have very, very short hair. It looks like this woman might have a little more hair.
Yeah.
Is there a culture thing with hair?
Yes, there is. First of all, as a school, we make sure our students keep their hair short, because otherwise they tend to spend hours braiding and taking care of it. So that's a school policy.
No.
To be an unmarried woman is to have short hair. To be married is to be bald. They shave it bald.
Ooh.
So we show our students that's
and that's Maasai culture.
Yeah,
these women are in town in Arusha or in Monduli in the village, and they will have had their hair grow out, but they normally will braid it and keep it braided to stay out of their way. But it is traditional for Maasai to have short hair.
Yeah, these are not bush people. Those are cooks. So you heard we sent a choir of 13 plus two teachers to America this year from Minnesota in February. Ha ha. Well, we had to go to the U.S. Embassy to get their visas stamped in because it's really a tough process since September 11th. And so we have these here. Only one of these girls had ever seen the ocean before. So after this picture was taken, Jean made them take their shoes and socks off and walk into the water. And they were all afraid. That's the Indian Ocean behind them. And it's a nice place to be. And, you know, let's see. We love them. We give them as much as we got, and they give stuff back. This girl's mother, in appreciation for Jean's teaching her, gave her the skirt. We don't have it with us, Terry.
It's over in the village center.
In the village center. It's what's underneath that. That's a skirt that her mother gave, unrequested, unexpected, and we just received graciously, because we will never be as gracious as they are. And some stories are really exciting and good, and some are semi-tragedies. This is one of our top two students we had in our first Form 4 class. They knew it was safe to go home. They both got pregnant. And the school board at our school has said no student who's been through Form 1 may get pregnant and come back. And so she came home, had this incredible baby. This is her father. This is her mother. When she came, the father was not excited that he was going to lose a daughter. After she had the baby's father came and said, "I will marry your daughter now." And the father said, "No, you won't. Get out of here." The guy said, "I have the cows." The father said, "Go." And she is back in school. Her sponsors never left her. So we got her in Maringe Sekoine School, a school near us, where she is now. Gone through Form 5, she'll be in Form 6 next year, and expect wonders from her. Her mother raised the child, and it looked like it was a tragedy, but it'll be okay. But what the baby did is kind of guaranteed that she'll never make it to America to come and study. And she was one of our top students. We liked her a lot. We get visiting people. Pastor Alex from Minnesota, talking to one of our students interested in the ministry. So, anybody here in Rotary?
Yeah.
Yay, Rotary! Now, they don't pack the containers, but they ship the containers to us. And these are containers, you know, designated for a one-way trip. They're beat up. And that's what Rotary does, several of them, especially in Minnesota. They send us these containers with their stuff in it. Hospital beds come in there, desks, school supplies, construction supplies. A real gift. Yet, you know, we give nothing back to Rotary, except, you know, 3 months, every 2 years, I say, is anybody in Rotary? Yay. That's your reward. I'm sorry. This is Marvin using one of our containers, a sewing machine that the other ones were using. This is me digging them out. This is Jean working on a sermon because that's the Bible in front. We're in our house. We have a round house. It's got a front door. It's got a bathroom door. And that's it, a half a loft. And this is in one of the non-corners we have in a round house. And this is our washing machine. Her name is Rebecca. And she does her best to keep me looking good. But it's too great a task. She's 22 years old now. She is one of these students who came out of Standard 7, and she was pregnant. This is six years ago. 6 years ago, the law said you may not have any more education if you're pregnant, if you had a child. The law has changed now, so we have her back in basically night school, taking her, studying for exams to get on through. We're working very hard to get rid of her, not because we don't love her, but because when we leave Tanzania, we get to leave one more teacher, one more educated person. And on her religion exam, when she had to sit the Form 2, she scored number 2 in the whole northern half of the country. Yeah. and here's a secret to success in being number two. Jean, who corrects your religion papers?
Rebecca corrects my religion papers.
But, yeah, she is. We're so proud of her. We're going to miss her already. You know? If you read the bulletin here, or the thing here on my side of the old school, it'll say, enter Mama Ruthie. As a woman, she was not allowed to stand and speak before the elders, but that didn't stop her. On her knees, she approached the group and adamantly and with many gestures told the desperately needed Maasai education. That's the sweet little lady in the middle. Would you want to say no to her? She came, because this is embarrassing. Guys, cover your ears. The former prime minister who was Maasai was killed in a car accident and said, you know, we need a school just for Maasai girls. He got killed. And the bishop then in Arusha and the missionary David Simonson, they talked about it. And it's really a good idea. They talked about it. And Ruthie, in the middle of a meeting, crawled in, basically on her hands and knees, and said, sir, I beg you, it is time. And these, like Wes Pree writing a letter to the mining company, everybody went, it is time. And that's how the school physically got going, because of her. She has no education, but boy, she's got 200 daughters there. This sour-looking face is our head of school. She's a sweet lady, but she's so shy, and when you pick up a camera, the smile goes away. The students are happy. And she is. She's a pleasant lady. It's just a terrible picture, but that's how you see her.
If some of you are from Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho Synod, she went to school at the University of Idaho in Moscow. She earned a master's degree there in administration, also had a degree when her husband was attending Wartburg Seminary in Iowa. So she did her bachelor's degree at Wartburg and then got her master's at the University of Idaho, and then has returned to become our head of school at the school. So she's now been doing this for 4 years. Our first year was her first year as well.
And she is Bush Maasai, and she interviews our students, because a lot of people love to come to our school because it's free. And so they try to send their daughters to these little villages and say, hi, I can go. And she's like Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady. She hears the voice and the accent and knows where they came from. You cannot fool her. Man, you can fool me any day. But she's brilliant at that. And so this is our graduating class this year. There's 47 of them?
47.
44 of them were going to go on. And these are our graduation dresses, but this is all their own beadwork. This is a moment of great celebration. Our top student, our first Division I student. Division I is you know, an A average, your honor student. It's tough to get. She's our first one. And we had a scientist out there with us, and he met her and just liked her. She, and even mathematics, got the highest grade we've ever had. She got a D. But it was high enough, her other grades were high enough to get a Division I. Rahema, and it's exciting. She wants to be a doctor someday. Here Jean is coming in with her gang, coming in for a worship. And this is the diocese youth leader. She'll be preaching that day. These are our Form 6s that are graduating. Three of whom are going on to America. We have...
At Concordia College in Moorhead.
Concordia College in warm Moorhead, Minnesota until September. We have three more, we think, in colleges there. And two out of the three that we want to send in seminary are there. Interestingly, the next class has nobody who wants to be a pastor. But this class is three of them, and we want that. One of them gets to replace Gene someday.
Yay!
But now, does anybody here sponsor one of our students? Any chance that we want you? Hey, they said thank you. Welcome to our beloved parents and sponsors, because they know who made their life possible. And we have these girls saying thank you to you. Isn't that nice? Here they are in the graduation ceremony inside the dining hall. Here they are reading their thank you to the pastor. That's their graduation outfit. They're gorgeous. They're receiving a diploma and awards.
Are those all beads?
Yes.
Yes.
The beads,
yes.
It's all white beads. Yes. And the difference in beads is pretty much by area and by taste. There's no symbolism there. It's only a matter of what their particular area like, and there's trends, they tell us. I said, for example, 5 years ago when I first, or when we visited, they had lots of blue and orange in it. Oh, no, Mama, that's old. Now it's white. They like the white.
It's kind of like the tennis shoes. And now, it's a Maasai girls' school. We must have all Maasai wrong. Law says only 75% of your students can be of any one tribe. That's a good law. So for our other 25%, we go out and we get tribes you never heard of. Hadsabi, Bearfight, Iraqi, and so on and so forth. This man is not a Maasai. He's a Bedouin. And in the middle of the graduation ceremony, he decided he wanted to say something. So with this incredible sense of non-modesty, he got up in front and spoke to everybody. This is his daughter. And he said, "Daughter, when you came to this school, I gave you a pair of shoes to wear through, and you wore them through Form 4. He said, "Then when you passed the Form 5, I was proud of you, and I gave you another pair of shoes, and you have worn them proudly." And then he reached back and he said, "Daughter, these are your new shoes. Walk as far as you can." And the keynote speaker said, felt like, you know, giving the speaker next to Abraham Lincoln at the Gettysburg Address. Whoa, I wish I said that. It's just wonderful. This is the bishop blessing the girls. That's part of life there, to bless, to bless, to bless.
And this is the same bishop that was a part of the original dream, or the original vision for the school. And he was part of that, and now he has seen it come to be. And it is his wife that is our head of school.
Can women be ordained in that?
Yes, they can. The Lutheran Church in Tanzania does ordain women. Every diocese sort of has their own policies about how they use ordained women. If we are in a heavily Maasai area, and traditionally because it's so patriarchal in its tradition, that we've only ordained one woman since we've been there in the 4 years. She's the Christian Ed Director now for the diocese.
So she does not have a church.
But there are two other ordained women that are serving in our diocese as parish pastors, but they were ordained in a different diocese.
So they're not Maasai?
No, one's Pare and the other one is Chaga, and they are working in that. Okay. However, just before we left, we had a conversation with our bishop, and I said, we have these three girls of Form 6 that really sense God's call to be a pastor. And truly, I've used them as chaplain assistants when they've had... When we've had some real struggles, a lot of times girls will come, somebody in their village has placed a curse on them, somebody has said, "You are not going to like school," they come very scared sometimes, but they really, their heart language is Maasai. That is not my language. So I have taken these three girls kind of under my tutelage a little bit, and we pray together, we kind of plan a strategy, and then they go visit the girl in the dormitory. I mean, they're the ones who have done the real care. And he said, "If you bring back scholarships, we'll send them to Makamira and we'll ordain them." And he says, basically looked at me and says, "And we'll take your job." I said, "Oh, great." I mean, it's exactly why we're there, is to raise up leadership in education so that will perpetuate itself. And $1,200 will pay for 1 year at Makamira Seminary within the country. $1,200 pays for 1 year. It's a four-year program. They graduate with a bachelor's degree in divinity, and then they will be ordained in their home parish.
The priest thing I was going to say, I have no idea what it was. I want you to point out David Simonson. If anybody has been blessed to ever meet this man, he's in his mid-70s now. When he turned 65, the ELCA said, "Simon said it's time for you to come home now." And Simonson said, "Nah." And so at the age of 65, he started this little project called the Maasai Girls School. And he's the one, I don't know if he knows a single student's name, but he's the one who went through, got the money for the buildings, got everything possible, and has built this place to be as maintenance-free as possible and to make a home for the Maasai girls so they have education, so they have a chance. And that's exciting. That's him. That's not him. That was him. David Simonson, one of the saints of God. Of the 16 girls who graduated, 9 of them had families show up. This is one of them. Her father and her mother are not here. The father would not come, you know, waste of time. But the younger mothers and brothers and sisters, they did, came and come and celebrate with her. This is the most dangerous student we're releasing, and nobody knows it. We have her scholarship. She's going to be a journalist. Okay, and scholarships all covered everything. We are going to have a writer who is a Maasai woman. And so far, Tanzania has not figured out this might be a problem. She's good, and I'm proud of her. Here is one. Her parents are absolutely 100% in favor of her. I wish they all were. And they're a lot more confident than she is.
Yeah. This is probably one out of the 16 that we honestly can say both parents are educated and both parents were supportive of her being in education. This is Nashifa Yohanan.
This man has been threatened with death because of his support for the Maasai Girls School. Mm-hmm. She would help go out and recruit other students.
In contrast...
To this one, she is standing between two teachers because somebody had to stand with her. Can I tell a story and not tell her name?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We got until 10 after they said.
Okay.
Okay, so here she is. She's born to a 14-year-old mother, unmarried. The mother is then delivered to her new husband. The new husband said, "I don't want the child." And so this girl got passed around from family to family until an aunt picked her up and got her through school. And then her brothers, bless their hearts, sold her for a goat and a bag of sugar. What's a life worth? Unfortunately, the Maasai Girls School interfered along with help from the aunt. And we got her in, and they can't have her. And she is now graduating from Form 6. She's scared. She's by herself, but we're not going to let her go for anything. And I want you to know, that is joy. That makes me happy.
Her sponsors also have been with her for 7 years and have indicated given their support for her to continue. We think she will qualify for a nursing scholarship within the country at a place called Haida Lutheran Hospital.
Okay, so you saw the 16 in the fancy outfits. When they finished their Form 4 exams, these girls did not do quite well enough to be legally allowed to go on to Form 5. But they were allowed to go on to teacher's training school where they will be elementary teachers, and there are 10 of them here. And so this is Thea, the first girls that we are returning employable, that's not the right word, that are fully trained, fully educated, and can go back to society. They are much sought after because they are incredibly fluent in English. They are fluent in Maasai, and they are fluent in Kiswahili. When they go to their primary schools, they will, be the best teachers they have. And we're proud of them all.
You will notice a change in hairdo for most of these folks because at school, we do keep our hair short on the students, but at other schools, this school is on the coast, they have the freedom to do what they want with their hairstyle. And this is they love hair pieces. This is not their own hair. They braided it down, and then she's attached the hairpiece. Mm-hmm. We always get asked about it, so why not? I just include it. So.
And see, typical Maasai scarring, the circles on the cheeks. And of the 10 students, this is the only one who had somebody come support her. Her mother came to be with her, and then an aunt or another mother. The only one with that. And some of them are going to America. This is Selena. I'd like you to meet Selena. Okay. She's great.
And she has a desire to be a teacher. She probably, of all of them, is as focused as you'd like to have a senior in high school come out and wants to get her bachelor's degree so she can come back and help teach teachers.
Who's going to replace me at the Maasai Girls School? This is another one who gets to also go. This is Upendo. Her name means love in her outfit.
And she's one of the most gifted in arts that we've had. She made her own beads, which you'll see is very different because she's mixing. Her mom is Chaga, her dad is Maasai. Some of the different areas and background. But she is a beautifully artistic visual artist as well as one of the finest singers. If you look on the CD that they made, she is the soloist for a couple of the songs that they have done. And she is interested in potentially pursuing law on behalf of her tribe.
Well, we'll see. And then this is number 3 who's coming along. Nobody studied harder than this girl. And when they had a chance to take the TOEFL exam test of English language, for foreigners, she worked so hard. She listened to every tape, every video, read every book she could, and she passed. And she passed because she passed. You can give credit to her teacher in English, but she really did all the work.
Are these the girls that are going to concord?
Those three, yes.
Adeline, her name is, in Tanzania, when you register girls at secondary school, they're registered by their first name, alphabetically. So because her name is Adeline, She is our number one registered identity number with the government. She is student number one. And interestingly, she has also turned out to be one of the brightest academic, hardworking girls who is going on now to Concordia. We hope to see them in July. They're supposed to be, in fact, almost during this week, we thought sometime that they would be flying for the English course at Concordia.
Here's the thought. That one girl that had the big family with her, but her father and mother weren't there, she's one of 41 children. She's the only one with any secondary education. Only with any hope. And this is not our slogan. This is their slogan. Education for liberation. They know what education means. And God bless them. Yeah. Okay, the slideshow.
God bless you.
Yeah.
He does.
No king.
And in this country, there is no king.
Has your life ever been threatened?
Only driving.
Are you going to play the CDs?
Our music was on the back, and we certainly can. We didn't bring, of course, a lot of them because, for one thing, they're usually kept out of in Operation Bootstrap in Minneapolis. But there is an order form if you want to order them. We've got a couple with, and if you're interested in, and we'll play this in the background so you hear it. There's four songs in English on this one. Freedom is Coming, Seek Ye First, Soon and Very Soon, and I go blank on the fourth one. Listen, God is Calling. They sing Listen, God is Calling.
So which one? The first one or second?
It's Come and Praise God. It's the second one. You want to order the one on the right when it says Come and Praise God. And either cassette tape or CD. There's somebody in Minneapolis who underwrote the production of it. We recorded out in Monduli, and then we send the master back, and it's duplicated in Minneapolis.
Does anybody ever critique you that you're taking away their culture, you know, bringing them into like inside kitchens or stairs or glass windows? And, you know, I mean, it's different.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, their culture is changing. And the bishop and Ruthie and Marengus Aquinas and a lot of their leadership saw that a long time ago. And their decision to start a school is so that they can participate in the changes instead of having it forced on them. Because the Western world is coming in with it's like a tornado. And they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to respond to it. They neither know the language. They neither know the background of what's happening outside in their world. And they felt, this is their vision. And we've been invited to help them get where they need to be, which is they want to be educated to participate in the decisions that will affect them. The Maasai in pastoralists are losing their land because the need for land for growing beans and corn. So what do these pastoralists do with their cattle? They're getting shoved further and further. And truly, Maasai are not militant by nature at all. In fact, they tend to be avoid conflict. So they've been moving their cattle back and back and back, and now they're running out of land, and there's no place to go. Tanzania as a country is in a real interesting dichotomy. I mean, it's like where we live, it's sort of like if you get out in the villages, it's like 1880. You come into Arusha, where the United Nations are holding the tribunal for the genocide trials for Rwanda and Burundi area, and it's 2002 with cyber cafes, cell phones, you know, you name it. Mosaic, beautiful office buildings going up. And there's this tension. And in our own country, historically, I think it was more gradual as the East moved West. But what you have here now are pockets. I mean, it's an interesting, and the difference is severe, which is would produce the tension. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, though, we have this fun thing of the mixing of the two. One day, Marv was in town, and there was these 6-7 young Moranis. They're the teenage, before they're now the junior warrior. And
yeah,
they've got the
warrior long, class, yeah.
Yeah, the warrior class. They got the red beaded hair, and they got the red shukas, and they got their knife, and they got their spear, and they're just really, I mean, they're the ones who just really know how
they
to
like speak. Being young and Maasai and
oh. And he passed them, and what happened?
And so I'm going this way, they're going this way, and this whole time I'm right in with them. One of our cell phones go off. I don't have one. This Maasai reached in his robe and pulled out a cell phone. And the great moment, though, the last guy in line and I made eye contact, and he went... My line is he went, forward said, "Ernie, turn that thing off. We're strutting today, you know." But what a a spear and a cell phone. Okay.
I mean, they're that sort of thing. Certainly, the culture is changing, without a doubt. For example, in Tanzania, within the last year, they have passed a law outlawing female genital mutilation, circumcision. It is now illegal. It's been illegal in Kenya for a while, but it's now illegal in Tanzania to do it. Now, how long will it take for it to infiltrate in the 5 or 6 tribes that traditionally do that? I mean, it's going to take a while.
It's too late for our girls. They're children.
All of our Maasai girls that are Maasai tribe that are at our school, 95% of them are circumcised already. So now we are teaching them, and our doctor is very good at dealing with the side effects of what happens. And a lot of them get urinary infections, a lot of them get bladder infections, a lot of them have other kinds of difficulties.
Yeah. One of the things he told me, I just paid, is he's got to operate on about a third of these girls so they can pee without pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not, I guess it's not protected by the Constitution. Yeah. So he's there. It's just, and for those who are out in the bush, there's nobody to help them.
Yeah. Doesn't it make the childbearing awfully hard, too?
Very difficult.
Painful, anyway.
Without a doubt.
They work so they can have the baby after 8 months, it'll be smaller and less painful.
Yeah, traditionally, the mother, while you are pregnant, you eat less. And one of the things that has happened for us at school is that we're one of the few schools in all of Tanzania. We feed our students 3.5 times a day. In the morning, they get uji, then they have chai with milk, tea with milk. Then they get a major meal of ugali and beans, a good complete protein, about 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then in the evening, about 7, they get a corn and beans mixture called makande. And our girls, they come small and little, as you saw. And then, I mean, they really fill out into, and some of them are worried. Because now if they go home to have their child, if the child's going to be large too, if it's going to be worse. So Dr. Makundi and some of the other folks that are there are working really hard to really prepare them for what's ahead for them. Our friend Sarah and Cheryl had brought groups out from Trinity several times. And Sarah is a delivery nurse. And she has had sessions with our students out there talking very bluntly about some of these things, HIV and prevention and abstinence and all of that. And a lot of them are just very fearful, very scared, huh? You want to say
definitely.
Anything?
Absolutely. Their questions are always geared towards fear of like, oh my gosh, we can't do this. And we've had some really good discussion about that, but they are just paranoid.
Yep.
Fear.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit where I come in the sense of teaching them how to rely on God in a very real, tangible way.
Does anybody go around the city?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think of that this morning. And it is a remarkable place. And we are, by law, we cannot teach birth control. But we are allowed to teach about HIV. And somehow, if you get a good teacher, they can kind of combine the two subjects, inadvertently teach birth control. And this is what they sound like singing their song. More questions.
There's one of the stories, if I could tell you about, in terms of the spiritual development for these students. The girl that you saw that was giving me from her mother the rap? Okay. She's one that would like to become a pastor and has some gifts of pastoral care that I've never seen in many, many students who I think want to become a pastor. She had the experience when she turned Form 3 when she said, my father came on Visitor's Day, because they come on the end of it, last Sunday of every month is Visitor's, is Parents' Day. My father came and said, my daughter, you are the oldest of my clan and oldest of my children. It is time for you to be circumcised. It is time for your ceremony, because to be Maasai is to be circumcised. And so we will prepare for this, so when you come home on break, just be prepared for that. She said at the time, she thought it through, she prayed it through, because when she came, she'd been baptized, but she had not been through confirmation instruction. So she had taken confirmation instruction at Maasai Girls and had been confirmed, and she was growing in the Lord. This is one of those girls who will read her Bible, will ask questions, will participate, is always there, just very involved. And you could tell the Spirit of God was resonating and she was growing tremendously. In her sensitivity, especially, about what things are cultural and what things are not. What things make a difference, what things are not. And she thought and prayed it through and said, this is just physical. this will honor my parents. This will honor my tradition. And she just went ahead and had it and was no problem. Okay? Came back, healed up, all of that, went on with school. When she was when she got to form five, at near the end of form five, she said, my father has come again. And he has said, now it is time for the second ceremony. Evidently, when you are the first woman, first girl, there's a second ceremony that you do in which there is a killing of an ox, there is a making of an ox soup, and everybody partakes of it. And it's in essence asking for a blessing of fertility, of prosperity, of marrying a very rich Maasai man so that you will have many cows. And it's part of their tradition, which would be to say that if I kill this ox and if I do everything properly, then I will be successful. I will be blessed. I will be rich. Right? She came and she said, please pray with me. My father has said this ceremony must happen now, and I can't do it. She said, I really cannot do it. She said, because to me this is idolatry. This is saying that somehow the death of this ox is going to make a difference in my future. And she said, I know very well it's only God and my own ability to work that's going to make a difference. Whether I'm successful, whether I'm blessed, whether I'm rich or prosperous, has nothing to do with the killing of this ox. Why should this ox die? That somehow, I think, you know, and to a witness to my family, she said, this would say I don't trust Jesus, that I don't trust God. I can't do this. So please pray with me that my father will understand and agree that I don't have to go through this one. So we waited for the last Sunday of the month, and here comes the father. And after he had visited, and because you just leave him alone, they come and they sit there on the ledges and they visit and they go home. Monday, she comes after an evening prayer and says, Mama Jean, I need to tell you, my father was here, and he says, no, I do not need to go through this ceremony. He said he realized that this was a spiritual issue, this is not a cultural one. This is a spiritual issue. And therefore, he said, my daughter, so that you do not sin or you do not sin against your God, you do not need to have this done. I mean, she had insight into her own culture and her own thing as far as the conflict of culture and faith. And they'll do it. I mean, we trust God and themselves. As they grow, they're going to do their own adjusting within their own selves in terms of the culture. I mean, talk about a witness to faith. Why should this ox die so that I have a good life?
Another has already died for me.
Yeah, someone else has already died for me, was her phrase. And that was enough.
It is over. We'll stay to take any questions you have. Thank you for coming to listen. Thank you for any support you do.
If you're not interested, take it home, give it to somebody else, pass them on, somebody else might be interested. There are many of them, you're welcome to them. Okay, that's great. With Bishop Wells and such?
Yes.
Do you know the exact dates when you're going to be there?
I have my itinerary at home.
Okay.
We'll get back the 29th of July.
Well, you will have been there by then.
Yeah, we're going the 9th of July.
Well, what on the 9th?
Here are two questions.
Okay.
Number one, what should I wear? I'm all out of one suitcase.
Okay.
Are shorts acceptable?
Yes, they are when you come to visit. Not in worship, you should have long pants.
How about jeans?
Jeans are fine.
As long as
they're long pants. You bet.
And here's the one dumb thing. If you're going to speak to groups, you've got to have your clothes covered.
You should have socks. Just bring a dark pair of socks to cover your toes.
We were told also that we would probably be getting receiving gifts.
Yes.
We should have gifts in return.
Yes.
What?
M&Ms and give them to Marvin.
No. What would be an appropriate thing? This may sound strange, but for example, a picture book of where you are from.
Something from
like physical. Like of nature, not of your house, not of your home, that kind of thing. But you know, like we oftentimes said, like if there's a state of Washington, postcards are good pictures in that sense. This is a mountain near my house. Or this is what our country looks like. The other kind of things that are sometimes some of the women have brought like a small dish towels or small towels or something so that it's not, we would bring you a towel. Scarves. They love scarves. And they'll do things, they'll tie things, they like scarves. You know, just women's scarves. You know, those kind of scarves. They're sort of flimsy. Scarves they like for the women. Rough placements. You know, you can get a placement, for example, to one of those. And simply to be used as a placement, a place to set something on. We brought those, we brought hot pads with pictures on them. You know, that kind of thing. Simple and easy and light to carry. But yes, and we try to make something that's tangible, that's going to last.
And something that probably the more we...
Absolutely. We had somebody come and they had made, they'd whittled little crosses, and they brought crosses to give. That's very important. In terms of a cross that stood out. And that was great. Yeah. But small and light and tangible is what we say. And either practical or symbolic. Pictures of your children. We had somebody come and see that they had postcards or they had larger postcards or like note cards or something. Oh, this is our church line sketched on.
Because usually when you're full all over, you don't ever know your
children. You bet. It'll be a mix.
It's always somebody with
a absolutely. And if, for example, you could tell Bishop Wells, he may have already picked us up from previous, but it's very much expected, let's say, for the bishop to bring a gift to the pastor or something of that nature. And sometimes, you know, a small group of solemn prayers, even though they're in English, or something like something of that, or to bring a metal cross, you know, a cross that we would like to buy, or something like that. That's not expensive, but something of that nature. Bishop, where you're, this is Bishop Leiser, L-A-I-S-E-R.
But they take their Bible and they give it away to somebody else.
His first name was Abel. We knew him that as an ass. But Mwambungu. Yeah, you have to practice that. Because it's really a tongue. Mwambungu.
Like if you turn 25, you can get yourself to
I have it in my room and I didn't bring it.
Yeah, we know that they're going to be far better.
You will see me tomorrow. No, we leave on Saturday. Yeah. But you can just give it to me anytime.
We don't not a problem. Whatever way you
can. Absolutely. That's where we get to fly, Martha. We get to work out there. Aren't they great? I mean, I'm just, I'm in love with them. There it is.
Were you near there at all?
She was in India.
Oh, that's right. I keep putting you in Africa. I always do.
That's all right. She should go there someday, shouldn't she? I keep thinking she should come. You come for a month, Martha. Hang out with us.
Oh,
we'll make good use of you.
Well, there's only one of these. Is that
go ahead. Feel free. We've got more of them. It's just the way it ended up.
I don't have money to give you right now.
Yeah.
How many of these do you have for yourself?
I have one more.
Really?
I think here.
So you don't have too many.
Somebody got... Yeah. No,
are they, available anywhere else? You know, in Seattle?
Not in Seattle, but you can order from...
Maybe I'll do that.
They'll mail it to you directly. There is a... Make check payable and send to OBA...
I'll do that because I don't have enough money with me. That's why I have a check that I'm...
They will mail it directly to you.
The Anglicans are really good at Kenya.
Yeah, and that's a common phrase.
You bet. And I'm going to give this one to... it's just great stuff. And they sing it without any help from us. I mean, I don't do it that
way.
Well, that's the one thing we know about ourselves. Not just our Christian churches that we know. We know that there is this rhythm of singing. That is very much a part of that. It's natural to them more than I think in our culture.
Well, Saturday morning, I'm going to present this.
Were you talking even Saturday?
No. But Saturday morning, I'm going to give this to Holden as a reminder. This is what made by
we have so much more to worry about.
And they've made all kinds of crosses. And this is the one that they thought they liked because it looked as if I was turning like a little bit in their arms.
Yeah, it does.
The reason I ask you about
swell.
How
swell.
My dad's word is you don't. everything is splendid.
It's been quite
now, when we want to really make something go,
is that they become
splendid choir.
Oh, yeah. And they're shunned or not accepted back by people. So now they're circled.
It's a little bit like you wonder. But everybody's just wonderful.
And he's so positive.
Well, but he's in the past, too, about comprehending things.
Oh, sure.
So just anything is just amazing. But he's still And of course, he's always this way. He's in the apartment that my dad had. And so I just want to make sure the cover top is white.
Well, he and Irma, have you seen Wonders in your book? No. Yes, I did.
It's terrible. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
He's got a book?
Well, yeah, he put out it's an 8x10, and it's got Ring Lunder. But it's only his sayings.
Lunderisms.
Yeah, that's what he calls it.
Exactly.
It's like Monica Lewinsky-isms.
Yeah.
No. Oh, these are much better.
Wasn't that so? I didn't hear it, but I heard about it. But yeah, I was interested. Lunder's thing is, you know, you can browse through it, but he's really got a lot of short things to say.
I browse it. The sun comes up every morning because God said so. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, they're pretty redundant, basic.
Yeah, but that's simple faith.
Yeah. Well, and look at him. He's not as old as Dad. He's a few years younger. He's late 80s.
Yeah.
And he still drives to Minnesota to do his different speaking things.
He's had
some congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
And had to take care of it, but he's still plugging.
He and Lowell signed the Bible trivia sitting together. And Lowell says he's never missed a question in the New Testament yet.
These I will leave, then we will make a presentation more maybe on the...
Yeah, this is so good that you guys are here. You know what I wonder is if a lot of what you said today, you have pictures, but if you could write a short story or a short write-up about things you said to just, you know, to comment on the style that this is and a few of the stories.
One of the things we're not allowed to write about any of the girls until they've gone to school, 5 years at least.
Yeah. But you wouldn't have to tell their names. I mean, you could...
Easter stories. Last thing you want is Susan Sarandon charging in.
No, but you can't just tell some of the kinds of stories about this one had family that encouraged her and how many don't, but they come anyway. I mean, just kind of some of what you said.
We won't. We can tell them verbally. They can record it, you know. But,
Oh, you have to put it on tape here.
Just that.
Oh, okay.
I was not in favor of that. I was not in favor of that. Yeah. But they only want this, so it's okay. Yeah. Nobody ever listens to these tapes.
Well, and there's a few.
And these I'll take over and put on that, the rest of them on the...
Was that a bell? What time is it?
It was. It's time right
now. 25 after.
So it's time for...
That's our best for
Yeah. Oh, there's just so much good stuff.
Isn't it great?
Isn't it great?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think I better put on my long pants. It probably starts to get too warm.
Hey, Gene, it's fun working with you.
All right.
Everybody up?
Okay. We ended up with
okay.
So far, we're okay.
Started with an argument.
Fantastic.
I only read the board, okay?
Yeah. Well, no, I'd leave it up.
Okay.
Just leave it up. Somebody else can do it, Dad, and then we'll see what happens here. Okay. These I'll just take over.
Now, did you get the slide out of here?
No, I haven't yet.
Do we know how?
Yeah. You have to turn the thing on and then get it to zero.
Okay.
Move it around to zero.
Power fan.
See if I can find a little baggie.
she's locked, so we don't have the little baggie that the stuff goes in.
I just forget to pull them off the scissor. I'm right here.
No, you really. You have to shove it or something.
I'm going to take this off.
We're
exactly halfway around there.
Is it 120?
160. 140.
I'd leave that. I let the fan go. It's really hot, and I didn't get to do that on the fan.
It is still warm, yeah. Get the power over and all turned off and everything?
Yeah, that's all turned off and I got the CD out of there. Lisa had to work both places tonight, so she said she just let the other thing, our tape in there, will have run to the end. And
that's a great little half of stuff. Another little plastic slide.
Yeah.
First class pass.
And what?
And at the, on the hatch one there.
Isn't that a great little deal?
Yep. Hey, what a great place you run. Were you here to hear us at all?
I didn't. I thought you guys were normal night. Today's my day off, so it's 10.
Hey.
Good, stay clear.
Listen, for a day off, Janet, I saw you way too much.
Well, the afternoon is my day off.
The afternoon. Gosh.
How'd it go?
Well, we're never the best ones to ask.
Because we always love it.
We're talking about home, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, somebody asked Jean, said, how'd it go? And she said, we were magnificent as usual. And he was just shocked. And so he walked up and he said, Jean said, you're magnificent today. I said, yeah.
Stunning was the word.
Stunning. Okay, I don't know the word. I don't know how to answer that question. We had fun.
Good. Yeah, ask those who came, Janet.
Was it a good crowd?
I think so.
Yeah.
Barbara was here, so she would be a good indication of.
Great. Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah. And we have a little presentation to make to Holden on behalf of the school. So maybe, I don't know, breakfast or maybe someplace.
Yeah.
They've sent it across and then one of the CDs so that you'll have for a record. On that, yeah.
Is that a bad pun? So you'll have a CD for a record?
Well, you'll have a little remembrance of us, right?
Okay.
Hey, thanks for letting us make fools of ourselves.
Now help me do this if you want. Let's see, how do we?
There are conditions over our worlds.
I don't know how to do that. I just said I'd turn off the top. I'm sure she'll come in and check stuff.
I never find a light switch.
Okay. I want to take this back upstairs and then back up to that top. I don't know. I think I'll leave it on the piano. I don't want to friendship and taking it over there.
I need to go to the bathroom.
I need my cup of water.
Okay.
Now, was that a real school presentation or BLC presentation?
Some folks are looking for expenses.
Good luck, Rudy.
Thank you.
Let's see, let's just put this inside the door there. That's from all the other ones. Don't take anybody in his
own. The SDR, they gathered here right after that devotion, so we have my desire.
Oh, okay. Then we should get rid of it. You don't want us to walk. We reached the lights on the front.
Sure.